Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. We have here the final words of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Tomorrow, 83 years ago, two men dressed as police officers, but they were actually mob hitmen, entered a church on the north side of Chicago, a Christian church. And they went into the confessional booth and knelt down and confessed their sins, professed faith in Christ, were absolved of their sins, made the sign of the cross, left, went back and got out in their cars, drove a few blocks to a garage, lined up seven men against a wall, and killed them in cold blood. Became known as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Lincoln Park, North Chicago. What sort of confession or profession of Christian faith did those men really have to go in and do that spiritual activity that very same morning, just moments before, and obviously going through all of this with the intent in their heart to still want to go and take life? The context of the Sermon on the Mount that we have here, or the context is our Lord's Sermon on the Mount that we have here in our text. And Jesus here is addressing those in this sermon who have already come to faith in him and come to know of him as the Savior, come to believe in him, people who consider themselves his followers and count themselves as part of his church. And he closes with this warning: "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand," and then describes the destruction of that house. What our Lord is addressing here is the potential for what you might call a very dangerous disconnect from our ears to our hearts. He's having us make the distinction between ear hearing of his word and heart hearing of his word. Luther put it this way, commenting on this text: "The doctrine of Christ is a good and a precious thing, but it is not being preached for the sake of being heard, but for the sake of action and its application to life." Just like those mobsters in North Chicago that day, you and I are tempted as followers of Christ, those who have been baptized into his kingdom, we are tempted to say, "Well, I know what my Lord says about things, but when it really comes down to it, I don't want to follow that, and I don't really care." The temptation is for us to make our Christian faith lip service. Yes, to actively participate in the public function of hearing the word of God and listening to Christ in Scripture, and to go through the outward show that everyone can see that we appear to be part of the church, to go through a set of external actions where we listen to that word of Christ, but then when we forbid to let it actually sink down into our consciences and into our hearts and into our lives. The devil has opened up a school of acting, and he invites us to come and take free lessons. And he would love to teach me how to be a great spiritual thespian, wearing the mask of Christianity, and to do it so convincingly that everybody around me would be absolutely sure that I would someday be in heaven. and yet internally in my heart to have it all be meaningless and dead. The distinction between having genuine faith and a fake, acted out faith is an internal matter that takes place in the heart. It's in the heart where this word of Christ that not only just enters our ears, but is now to go into our very souls and consciences, it is in the heart of man where that word of God awakens a recognition of our guilt before God, awakens in us a sense of our true sin, where it causes us to look at the things we're doing in life where we think we're getting away with it before God and to say, you know, that's really wrong. And God is very upset with me for this. I need to take another look at this. Where that activity happens by the work of the Holy Spirit, where you begin to be troubled in your conscience and in your heart about the sins that are going on in your life, and where this awakens a pricking of your conscience so that you start to again realize the great need that every one of us has for the grace of Christ. That's what Jesus is addressing in our text. He's talking about repentance, sincere repentance, not just mouth repentance that we can just speak as we go through the liturgy, but along with that beautiful liturgy, heart repentance. And when this takes place, and when the Word of God then comes to us crushed in our sins and brings us to the foot of the cross and hears that beautiful absolution from Christ that our sins are forgiven, and when we see ourselves along with that thief on the cross being promised paradise in the gospel, and where our hearts grab onto that and say, boy, do I need that. I am so grateful that my Savior did that for me, that my sins are forgiven, that I'm holy in God's sight, that I can actually claim citizenship in heaven. This is what our Lord is talking about when he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when that happens, no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what the world comes at you with, even when your own heart might come and try to condemn you, when you have repented of that sin and held on to your Savior, you can look out at that just as the same way you could stare into a fierce hurricane, and you could say, rage away. Rage away with all of your might. I have Christ. I have His Word. I have His promises. And that will stand up to anything you throw at me. Notice in our Lord's little story of the man building a house on a rock that it's the rock that receives all of the credit for the survival of the house. It's not the building of the house. It's the rock upon which it is built. And that rock is God Himself, who comes to us through word and sacrament in the grace of Christ. So it is not the strength of the faith. It's not the strength of your personal faith that will provide the stability to survive the storms, but it's rather the foundation upon which God has built your faith for you on His Word. You know, we can never truly look into a person's heart and see what's going on there. I've talked to a number of Christian doctors, however, that have told me that when they deal with people who are near death, that those people that seem outwardly when they talk to them to really spiritually take their spiritual lives seriously and take the Word of God seriously, they always approach death with such a different level of confidence. Pastors will tell you that too with the people that they go and visit. That having your spiritual house built solidly on the promises of Christ is what gives us the way to be best prepared for the final storm. And so may all of us say with the great English hymn writer, Edward Mote, when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.